Amen, amen. Good morning to all of you. How are we doing today? I see that some of you are looking very, very festive. I love seeing some of these funny and ugly Christmas sweaters. Anyone wearing like an authentic, like ugly Christmas sweater? Anyone got one of those on? Somewhat, maybe? No. I'm talking about like you went to a thrift store like 20 years ago and you found it. Yeah. Those are hard to come by these days, but those they still smell. Right? They still have that old smell to them. But anyway, thanks for joining us and some of the fun and activities that we've got going on for Christmas. It's always fun to laugh at each other and with each other as well. We are in week two of our Christmas series called Wishlist. Last week we kicked it off and we talked about the importance of inviting, of sharing our testimony and telling people about Jesus and what he's done for us and what our church is doing as well. And so I wanted to quickly just remind you about, I have so many cards up here, I want to grab the one. Last week, I had given you guys, equipped you guys with the prayer wish list. And I talked about the importance of, you know, writing down some names or just some people that you know that you could be praying about. Opportunities to share with them your testimony or invite them to church, present the gospel, whatever it may be, and just have their name and just put this somewhere so that you can pray over it. And so I wanted to remind you, if you were here last week, make sure you're praying over this. Continue to look for opportunities to share with them. And then if you've had that opportunity, make sure that you're praying that they will respond and come and hear about the gospel presented. If you weren't here, that's okay. We have some of these over at the Connect tent. You can grab one and write down a name and just keep praying over those names, praying for opportunities to share, praying for opportunities to invite. And when the opportunities present themselves, for just the boldness and the confidence to present the gospel to them. As we prepare for this season, many people do Advent devotionals, and I've been doing a couple of them, and one of them I listened to. It's really great, and at the end of it, there was a prayer that just was so powerful, so impactful, that I just grabbed it, and I wrote it down, and I wanted to share it, because it really captures kind of what I've been talking about, you know, last week, and what I'm going to be talking about today as well. And so I wanted to share this with you. It's from an app that I use called Lectio 365. Here's what it says. I pray now for your church to be a witness this Christmas season. Let us gossip good news, leak out love, be distracted by kindness, choose generosity, live in wonder. I pray for tangible ways that my church may be startling and astounding as a witness to the love of God. I think it's just such a powerful reminder of the news that we carry, right? Of the hope that we have. And, you know, this Christmas season, like, we get such an amazing opportunity to tell people about Jesus, about what this season is all about, and ultimately what Jesus means to us. We also get to invite them to experience God move in startling and astounding ways in their life. And so that's really what we're talking about. Now, of course, Christmas is a time when we get to experience memorable and meaningful moments with our friends and with our family, right? We all have these Christmas traditions that are, some of them are shared that we do, others are very unique to our family. But what we do, we get together, we decorate our house. How many of you had your Christmas decorations up after Halloween? Nice, very good. So we put up the lights and we pull out all the stuff that we have in the attic and we start putting memorabilia down, just certain things that have been passed down that carry significance to us. And then of course we go and get the tree. How many got real trees? Oh, more than last. Last it was like real tree. What is that? And I was like, I don't know. It's the thing you get and it makes your house smell good. But they're expensive, right? It's like I'm just gonna go out and chop down any tree. I don't even care if it's a Christmas tree. We put some ornaments on it, fluff it up, you know, it'll be great. But we do the trees, we do the ornaments. And again, same thing with the ornaments. Like there are some ornaments where like it just brings you back and you hang it up and you remember when it was created or when it was given. And it's amazing memories. Of course, there's the Christmas music. Where are my Christmas music lovers, right? You've been listening since November 1st. Yeah? Like you've just been hardcore. You're like, no, sir, it was August. August. it was Christmas in summer kind of deal. And so we have the Christmas music and that's fun. We do these festive things where we wear ugly sweaters and, you know, Christmas PJs and all that stuff. We get to bake food and cookies and we go to dinners and parties with friends and family and all just amazing memories, amazing moments. And then alongside that, we spend time with God and we do these devotionals and we spend time doing devotionals with others and we come to church and we sing praises and sing Christmas songs. And it's just, it's amazing, right? And we get to experience these moments. And while experiencing these moments is fun and it's great and it's something we should do, I believe there's something so special and so significant when we take time to create those moments for others to experience. Just to get to watch someone go through and experience something that we've taken time to invest in and just serve in and give to or whatever it may be. And so we have, at our family, we have our normal Christmas traditions and we do different things and it's a lot of fun. And in years past, we've had a visitor that shows up on December. It's a little elf. He shows up and he does crazy things and he hides stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about? Little elf that shows up. Our elf is nutso, okay, when he shows up. And I don't know what that's about. Anyway, well, this year we decided that there was going to be something else. My wife found this thing to help us really, capture the season and capture these moments. And so she found this thing called Finding Jesus. And here's this little Jesus doll. He's cute, isn't he? Say hi.
Hi.
Okay. And so she found this thing called Finding Jesus. And what happens is we just take him and put him in different places each day. And the kids run downstairs and they just run around the house like crazy kids, like 6 a.m. in the morning, going, "Where's Jesus? I need to find him," right? And so it's a fun thing. And they get to find him and they get to hug him and hold him. And so it's a cool little thing. I was like, this is so cool that, like, all Christmas long, what are they doing? They're looking for Jesus. And as they look for Jesus, it also comes with like a calendar that has, different verses about Jesus' birth on there. And then they're putting this puzzle together. And it's just these moments that that my wife and I get to create. And we get to see the joy and the hope and the love. And it's all centered upon Jesus. And, you just think about the ways and the lengths at which you go to create these moments for your family. Right, these moments that are filled with love and peace and joy, right, to connect them to the true meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus. And this, I think this is, for the most part, all of us, as we enter into this season, that's what we want. We want to create these moments that ultimately draws us closer to God. And so we take time, to make these moments for others to enjoy. And when we do that, especially when these moments involve Jesus, I believe they create this long-lasting impact that we get to experience here on earth as well as in heaven. And so as we enter into and continue in this Christmas season, really quickly, I'm going to talk about these things throughout my message, but I wanted to give you a reminder, a reminder to remember three meaningful moments as you enter into and enjoy this Christmas season. The first thing is this, is that during this season, just remember to continually embrace God in every moment. Because this is a season that it's fun, and there's all these activities, and it's a lot of that, but it can also be stressful. It can also be burdensome. It can also bring up memories of grief and of loss. And so as we go through all of this, it's so important that we do all the activities and festivities, but that in all of it, we draw closer to God, and we spend time in his word, and we spend time reading through the story of Jesus and God's story of redemption, and we praise him, and we worship him, not just on Sunday. I'm talking about through our day-to-day stuff as we're doing all these things. Embrace these moments with God. It's so important that's the first. That's our priority. We're embracing God in these moments. The second thing, which we've kind of talked about, is we embrace or enjoy moments with others. And so we naturally do that, but I'm going, okay, we want to enjoy these moments with others, but we make sure as we enjoy these moments for others that God is still in the center of it. And so we're doing all these things and making sure that Jesus is the focus. And then the third and final thing, which is really what I'm going to focus a lot on today, is engaging in moments for others. Right? We're embracing God and we're enjoying time with others, but there's this call that we have to engage in moments that will be impactful for somebody else. The story of Jesus from the beginning, from his birth, what it's doing is it is gathering people to himself. right? It's bringing people back into relationship with God. It's bringing people into a community to do life together, to love together, to serve together, to give together. And so what happens as we are brought together to God through Jesus, we experience this moment with him. And we continue to experience these moments with him. And those moments ultimately lead us to moments with others where we're encouraged by them, held accountable by them, we're supported, we're prayed for by them. And what should happen from those, when we experience these moments with God and with others, they eventually should lead us to then create these moments for others. And you see how it all works together. Last week I shared from the Old Testament kind of a messianic prophecy about Jesus' birth, about Jesus' life. I want to share another one that talks about just how Jesus gathers people to himself. It's in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. And this is a bit of a paraphrase of some of these verses. But here's what it says. "For this is what the Lord God says. See, I myself will search for my flock and look for them, and I will rescue them, and I will gather them. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bandage the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." And this is just this picture of who Jesus is and what he came to do. All those who are lost, all those who are weary, all those who are burdened, all those who are dealing with grief, all those who are looking for hope, he's going to gather them together, bring them to God, bring them around one another. And this is what God promised, that he would gather his people together to enjoy one another, to embrace moments with him, and then to engage in moments for one another. As you look at the Christmas story, as it moves on into Jesus' life, you see that, you know, there was all these different people that God gathered together to be a part of Jesus' story. And so, you know, in the beginning, you look at, you know, some of the stories, and we've read through these stories. You get the man Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's dad, and there's this story here, like this is preparing the way for the Lord. We talked about John the Baptist last week. And so there's this priest who has this son that's going to be a voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. And then Jesus is born, and there's this other guy named Simeon. And Simeon is by the temple as Jesus goes, and Simeon sees the Lord, the Messiah, in his time, and he just gives this prophetic praise and prayer. And so you got priests and prophets that are gathered together. Then you got Elizabeth, which is John the Baptist's mom, and you got Mary, which is Jesus's mom. And so you have these mothers and these caregivers that are woven in to this story in powerful ways. And then you got complete strangers, right? Wise men from far off distant lands come seeking the King of Kings, bringing gifts and protecting Jesus from Herod. And then, of course, you have the shepherds who are visited by angels, and they hear that the Messiah is born, and they go to see him, and they praise him, and then they leave proclaiming what they've experienced and what they've seen, that the Messiah has come. Of course, you have Joseph, Jesus's father, who, you know, cares for him, provides for him, protects him. And so it's important to have that role in his life. And then, we talked about John, and I see John as just being a friend and of course, the herald and the one who's preparing the way for Jesus. And you just see all these people gathered together and woven into this story. And this, throughout his life, that's what Jesus does. He gathers people together, and often it is people that wouldn't normally gather together. Bringing people together from every walk of life. It didn't matter their social standing, their profession, their influence, their background, or their current circumstance. Jesus brought them into his story, and Jesus brings us into his story through these meaningful moments. And as he does, you know what he does after that? He then encourages us to go and do the same. What you've seen, what you've experienced, what you felt, the hope that you found, now go and do the same for them. Go engage others with my message. Go serve them, love them, give generously, live with forgiveness and mercy and grace. And so our willingness to engage in moments for others, here's what it does. It has the power to change lives forever through the message and hope that we have found in Jesus. Again, you look at some of the people that I just mentioned and how their lives, when Jesus entered the scene, their lives changed forever. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds. John the Baptist, the apostles, the disciples. Once they encountered Jesus, their life was forever changed. And so each experienced a powerful moment with him. And as they experienced this powerful moment with him, it wasn't just a moment that they had and then they walked away going, that was cool. Hope it happens again. No, they experienced it and it changed them. And each of them after that was willing to share that moment with others. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you how he came into my life and what he told me. And they did whatever it took to help others experience the hope that they found, the love that they found, the forgiveness that they found. And here's what I'll say. Moments with Jesus are meant to move us to engage with others, to serve others, to share with others, to bring others into the story and into the hope that we have found. You see, in Jesus' story, through his birth and through his life, every person served in a unique way. We talked about how we each have a sphere of influence, and we each have different giftings and callings, and that was the same. And so they served in unique ways so that other people could encounter the life-changing moments with Jesus and with God the Creator. And you look at them and you say, oh, how did they serve? And you have Mary, or she carried the Savior of the world, and then she cared for him. Joseph, protecting and providing for Jesus. You have the shepherds, right, who are praising and proclaiming the Savior. You have the wise men who are worshiping and protecting the Savior. You have John the Baptist who's preparing the way for him and proclaiming his name. And then, of course, you have the apostles and the disciples, and they begin to follow him. And then they are sent out to proclaim his name. Each one of them served in a different way, in a different capacity, but all of them served so that Jesus would be known. They proclaimed his name. What they did and what they were called to do was for one purpose, to draw people into the love, into the hope, and the redemption that Jesus brings in our lives. Now, as I consider, you know, this call to serve and how each one of them served, now I'm brought to Jesus' words in Mark 10. Verse 43, it says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so this was what Jesus modeled. And it actually brings me to mind Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Messiah and how Jesus, the Messiah, would not just be a servant, he would be a suffering servant. Isaiah 53. Again, I'm going to shrink this down and paraphrase it just a little bit. Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 6, and then verse 11. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. And in verse 11, it says, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. And it opens with him being someone who suffers for us. And it closes with him being someone who serves for us. And so as we look at this, like it says, my righteous servant, and like, you can bring to mind kind of what that might mean and what that means in context of who Jesus is. This Hebrew word in Isaiah 53, servant, is translated to aved. And it carries this idea of a worker or a slave, one who is subject to another's will, and it implies both action and obedience. So in Isaiah, God's servant is one who carries God's will faithfully. No matter what it may mean for the servant, he's going to carry that will out. And so when Isaiah calls Messiah the servant, it portrays Jesus as the one humbly serving God's purpose, ultimately by his obedient suffering and sacrificial work, get this, for the benefit of others. He did what God called him to do so that others might be redeemed and reconciled back to him. And so you get this picture, like Jesus served us. Jesus sacrificed for us. Jesus suffered for us. And as we come to this knowledge of what he did for us and how much he loved us, and we surrender our life to him, guess what? We are then called to take on the like-mindedness of Jesus, this servant leader, to then serve others, even if it means we might suffer. Even if it means there may be sacrifices that come. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are called to live out the servant-minded attitude that Jesus modeled. In Ephesians 6:7, okay, anyway, I got some of you with that one. Here's what it says, ready? As slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Now, I want you to connect. We're looking at what Jesus said. You know, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Isaiah talks about this suffering servant, right? And so now in Ephesians 6, it says, as slaves of Christ, what's that mean? We have now submitted our heart, our mind, our life, ready for it, to the will of the Father, to the will of Jesus. And so now we become slaves to do God's will from our heart, and we serve with a good attitude, that's for the Lord and not for men. In Colossians, the same thing is shared. Chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something that is done for the Lord, and it's not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. And I love how it ends in verse 24. You ready for it? It's very simple. You serve the Lord Christ. We're called to serve him. No matter what it may entail, no matter what we might have to sacrifice, no matter how much suffering that comes. And I want you to understand, like, the moments that we engage in serving others are actually for Jesus. They're for him. And we have this hope, right, that as we serve for Jesus, that what we do will then bring them into this life-changing moment with Jesus. But we do it because he modeled it. We love because he first loved us. We give, we're generous because he first gave. We serve because he first served. You see, when we serve others, we serve Jesus. And I think we need to begin to see the people that we're called to serve, that we're called to come alongside, as serving him. In Matthew 25, Jesus is sharing, and he says this, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in, and I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we feed you or give you something to drink? When did we take you in or clothe you? When did we visit you? And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And it becomes this mentality shift, this perspective that goes, when I serve, I'm serving him. I'm not just doing it for men, to appease men or for the praise of men. I'm doing it for the Lord. And so what this means, when you serve at Kairos, it's significant. Serving coffee is for Jesus. Changing a diaper is for Jesus. Running a camera is for Jesus. Cleaning a toilet at the church is for Jesus. You know, maybe not at your house. I don't know. Maybe it is. If you're worshiping, praise him. Keeping kids safe and protected is for Jesus. As we consider what we're doing for our Christmas services and the decorating and the fun and the events, it's for Jesus. Serving hot cocoa is for Jesus. Helping with crafts is for Jesus. When we step out to engage within the local church, we are serving Jesus. And so I want you to understand that when we serve out of love for Jesus with a desire to have others experience him, this means there are no insignificant tasks when it comes to serving in the kingdom of God. Everything that is done is for him. And so our moments with God, right, that we get to experience with him, and then our moments that we get to enjoy with others, I believe those two moments should fill us up with love and joy and peace and patience and hope. And as we are filled up, guess what? That should spill out of us. And it spills out into these moments for others so that they can begin to experience the love of Jesus in their own life. At Kairos, what we do every Sunday is we glorify Jesus, and we magnify our Savior. We create moments to worship and to serve people, right? To hear his word, to proclaim his word, and then ultimately to respond to it, to go and do what the Holy Spirit and the Word has convicted us to do. We do that every week, and we serve in these capacities every single Sunday. And it's a powerful thing. And if you serve in any capacity, you got to understand what you're doing. It has a kingdom impact. But I also want to share with you that as we get ready to enter into Christmas and our Christmas services, we have an opportunity to go above and beyond that. Last week, we talked about the power of an invite, the power of sharing, the power of telling your testimony, the power of telling people about what your church has meant for your life and what your church is doing and what they got going on and bringing people in, and that's important, and we need to do that. And we sow that seed, and we let God and the Holy Spirit work that out, and he draws them too. And so we threw it out there, and we're going like this. But now, this week, now we got to prepare and be ready for when those people respond. And the question becomes, are we? Are we ready to serve, to love, to give, to sacrifice for when they come so that, man, they can experience Jesus? That there will be nothing that gets in their way of seeing, experiencing, and responding to the love that Father God has for them through their Son. You know, I think as we think about preparing, it's going to require more of us, right? And you go, well, there's already so much going on. This is a busy season. It's a wonderful season, and we have all these things going on, and we're busy, and we feel stretched, and we go, I can't think about adding anything else to my time, like because we're doing our best to make these meaningful moments for Christmas for our family and for our friends and for those that we love, and that's important. And we got to take time to make time for the people that God has put in our lives. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we make time to serve those who do not yet know Jesus and bring them in to this church community and to hear the gospel presented and to show them that the church is a place where people are loving, are kind, are generous, are serving, are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that people will hear the message of Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be for others. And here's the truth of that statement. You ready? In order to be for others, then we've really got to heed the words of Jesus when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And what did Jesus model to us? Serving, sacrifice, and suffering. And we go, what does that mean for me? And how is Jesus calling me to enter into that? At the very beginning, I said, you know, God gathered people together through Jesus, and they came, and they worshiped him, and they served him. But after that, they went out and did what God called them to do, to share the joy of the moment with others. And so once we experience that life-changing moment with God, and then we are encouraged through these moments with others, man, that within us should compel us to then go out and help others experience those moments too. Last week we talked about some practical ways to invite and to share with people and how you can do that with friends and family and loved ones, and that's important. Keep doing that. But then this week I want to give you some practical ways you can serve others. And maybe you're already doing this. As you begin to invite, you're thinking about ways that you could begin to serve people that you know, whether it's family or friends or neighbors or coworkers, whatever it may be. It's just as you go out, like think about ways that you can serve others within the context that you're in. How can you go outside and help your neighbor get ready for Christmas or decorate? Can you bake them cookies? Can you give them a gift card? I don't know what it is, but there are these practical ways. And you can hear about a need that someone else has and provide for them. Maybe it's bringing them a meal or just taking them cookies, or maybe it's providing for them financially. Like, there are so many opportunities for you to come alongside people if, you ready for this? If you stop just focusing on what you need to do and begin to start focusing on how you can serve others and how you can come alongside others. And again, we all have a lot on our plates, but don't let all of these things keep you from what Jesus calls you to, which is being a light in a world where people are desperate for the hope that is found only in Jesus. Because maybe, just maybe, your coworker is suffering and struggling, and they don't have that hope. Maybe, just maybe, that neighbor that doesn't seem to have a great attitude has a reason for not having a great attitude. And maybe he needs you to reach out, or maybe she needs you to touch base, and maybe they just need you to come alongside them in some way so that you can show them the love of Jesus. Look for ways to serve people around you within the context you already have. And as you do, take time to invite, take time to share, take time to share your testimony. So there are ways to serve others every day, but there's also ways for you to serve as those people that you engage with and invite and tell people as they walk through the doors. There are many ways to serve right here within our church context. And what I want to do today as a closeout is I want to encourage and challenge you to pray about how you can help serve, especially in the coming weekend for Christmas at Kairos. We've been talking about this the last few weeks. We've been talking about what we got going on. We have three services that we're doing. There's a Saturday night service and two Sunday morning services, and it's more than what we do on Sunday. We're still doing this, and we still need help with what we do every single week, but we're adding another service. At the same time, we're adding an event after each service so that we can bring the hope and the gospel to people and show them that, man, church is a place where we can have fun and enjoy these things together. And so we have our Christmas events, and we've been talking about the need that we have for serving during each one of these things. And I'll just tell you, before first service, we hadn't even got like maybe 20 to 25% of the roles that we needed filled for the activities that we have going out outside. And so I just want to challenge you. I want to give you clarity on what that would mean, what that would look like for you, so that you can begin to pray about how you can begin to serve in some of these capacities. And so as we gear up for our Christmas events, there's a few ways that you can get involved. You can come in on Saturday afternoon and help us set everything up. And that's a great way to serve. Or you can say, oh, you know what, I can't make it on Saturday, but I can come Sunday after everything's done and I can help you guys tear all that down and put it away. But then during each event, again, there's three of them, there are ways in which you can serve people. And maybe it's helping do crafts and decorate cookies at the little craft area. Maybe it's running one of the interactive games or inflatables that we got going on. Maybe it's donning one of the character suits, right? You get to be Bumble and you get to throw snowballs at people, okay? And they might not know who it's you, so hit people in the face, you know? Might be one of those kids that you teach in third through fifth, and you're like, I'm going to get that. You know, it's like, and it brings joy to your life and theirs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get to spread the joy through serving. And it's just these opportunities. It's, you know, serving cocoa is another way. And these are just some of the ways. Like, this is the stuff we need help with. And you don't have to do it for all three. Like, if you just sign up for one, and for the most part, these things only last for 30 to 45 minutes. And it's a way to immerse yourself in community, to bring hope, to bring joy, to bring laughter into people's lives. And so I would encourage you in that way. At the same time, like I said, we have three services, which means, you know, we're going to have a lot of people coming through here. We often have quite a few kids, more kids show up. And so that means we have a larger need in our kids' ministry. And so we've been planning this out, and we've been trying to schedule, but there are still gaps and holes in our kids' ministry. At last time I heard, we had about 15 positions that we need filled in kids' ministry for our three services. So here's what I'll say. If you've ever served in kids but had to step away for a season, which is fine, and you can help out next week, please reach out to our kids' ministry director, Kim, or write it on a Next Step card. Or if you say, you know what, I can probably help in kids, we can figure out a way to get you to help in one of our services. And so we need you to step into serving in some way so that you can help us shine the love of Jesus this Christmas. Listen, Christmas brings us these opportunities to invite others, And when they normally wouldn't come, maybe they would. And so we have that opportunity, but it also provides us with opportunities to serve others. And I believe both are essential in advancing the kingdom of God. I want to close with Hebrews 6. Verse 10 says, God will not forget your work and the love you have shown for his name when you serve the saints and continue to serve him, serve them. And so my wish, my hope, my prayer is that you would step into moments for others, whatever way, whatever capacity God is calling you, so that they can experience the blessing that comes from you serving them and showing them what Christ is like. Let's keep praying. Let's keep inviting. And let's also pray about how we will serve and be prepared when they come. Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, right now we come to you and we just thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and everything that he sacrificed, for all the ways that he suffered, and for all the ways that he modeled servant leadership. It is quite a miraculous and marvelous thing to behold someone who puts the needs of others and well-being of others before their own. And Jesus is that for us. Jesus is that for the whole world. And so God, we are called to follow in his footsteps, to love as he loved, to give as he gave, to serve as he served. Thank you for giving us the example of your son who went all the way to the cross and died for our sins so that we could have forgiveness and eternal life through him. May you continue to encourage us and call us and challenge us to share your word and to show your word so that people can come to know your son. God, we pray over those names on our list. God, if we haven't had an opportunity, we're praying for one this week that would come. God, and as that opportunity comes, we would step into it. And as we step into it, it will be well received. And ultimately, that opportunity would lead to someone coming to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. God, we're praying for all the plans. We're praying for all that we're doing. God, we pray through all of it, you would be glorified and magnified because all that we do, all the ways that we serve, all the ways that we love are for you. Let us remember that this Christmas. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.